Let us pray. Let us gather our hearts, still our minds, and be aware of the very presence of God in our midst. Let us put aside the concerns of last week or the anxiety of the week to come. And let us just be present with our God in this moment. Let us be still. So, Father God, we come before you today as your children. As a loving father greets his children, we feel the warmth of your love in your presence. And Lord, today we give you praise and glory. For it is to your praise and glory that we are here today. You have been faithful for 192 years to generations of believers who have worshipped in this town, in this congregation. And while our name has changed, the name we praise has not changed, for we praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we who have inherited a legacy of faithfulness that others have sustained and passed on to us, our prayer is that we too will continue to seek the Lord's will, to seek his purpose, and in our turn, when our time comes, we will pass on a legacy of faithfulness to future generations. Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will work in us and through us individually and as a congregation, that we will have such unity in the Spirit that the community around us will take note of what God is doing in our midst. We pray also, Lord, that each one of us who calls on the name of Jesus will boldly proclaim that name at any opportunity that we get, that this community of Newmarket will hear the name of Jesus, will hear it lifted high, and will call upon him as Lord and Savior. Now in the quietness of this place set aside for worship, in your own heart, give thanks to God. Those of you who have been with us a long, long time, many years, those of you who are recent members of our fellowship, give thanks to God for what he has done for you in drawing you to this place at this time. Father, we pray that your will be done in our hearts, that your will and purpose will be done in and through this congregation. Hear our prayer, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to have pastoral prayer in Mandarin. 主耶稣基督我们感谢你 这个重大，要传福音的心， 完全交在你的手中，求你叫我们能够每一天跟随你，每一天能够聆听你的话，每一天能够明白你的旨意是什么东西。求你帮助我们，带领我们，保守我们每一个人，也保守我们的家人。祷告侍奉主耶稣的名求，阿门。 We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
It's now a pleasure and an honor for me to invite Pastor Murray to come and give us our anniversary message. Murray and I are great friends, and he was my pastor and mentor back in our Uxbridge Baptist Church days. Murray, would you come forward? I'm going to pray for you. Would you like that? Let's pray. Father God, I give you thanks for all the messages that have gone out from this pulpit that have upheld your name and your praise and your glory. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit descend now upon Murray and give him the heart and the voice to give a powerful message that will penetrate our minds and our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. You're looking fine for something that's 192 years old. I'm glad there's life and vitality here in the New Market and in your church, and I'm delighting in the coming together of the two congregations under Pastor Keith and Pastor Don, and I rejoice in knowing that you are finding common fellowship as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ together. And after I've concluded my words, Pastor Don Chan will come and he will share a précis of that message in the Mandarin language so that those who are not familiar with our English language will have that message brought to their hearts today as well. That's a wonderful opportunity to do that. It reminds us how great, how wide the Church of God is. Amen? We often think that the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed in the English language, right? And that only the English language can bear the gospel message. And the truth is the languages of the world, the languages of the world are sharing the gospel message. And our Canadian Baptist ministries here in Ontario, today as we gather here at Christian Baptist Church in Newmarket, are gathering around our province. And last information I had, there will be 27 languages that will be spoken under the banner of the Canadian Baptist ministries. And I rejoice in that. That the message of the gospel is getting through to the world and even getting through to us as we are here. So I rejoice to be with you today, celebrating a grand occasion, looking back, celebrating the history of the church. And I know that's an important part of our life together, to have the history of the church brought forward. But the reality is that if we're going to be the effective church today, we have to be preparing for our future. That is, we are anticipating that God is going to yet do even a greater thing among us than he has in the past. And my prayer as I begin this message would be that this church would anticipate the 193rd year of Christian Baptist Church of Newmarket to be the best year yet. To be the best year that God by his Holy Spirit has ever brought to the people of this church. That this church in its 193rd year would be a church in which the kingdom of God would grow, and that the people of the community surrounding area would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, anticipating a great future. Let me ask you a couple of questions as we begin together. And today I'm just using a couple of familiar texts in Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1, which you may be familiar with. And I'm just going to use those to bounce a few thoughts off of you. But I would ask a question as we begin. How do you describe your 192-year-old church? If somebody said, what's your church all about? How would you describe it? Well, I trust that some of you would say probably it's a place where friends gather together and rejoice together and build meaningful relationships, a support group that encourages us in our Christian faith, a group that prays for us, cares for us, amen? A group that meets the needs of our children, as they grow up, as we heard today from Pastor Keith. It's a source of Christian celebration, Christian entertainment, if you would. It's also a refuge from the storms of life. It's all of those things. It's a company of God's saints separated from the world. All of these things can be used to describe what the church is about. But I wonder if you've ever thought what the world around us has to say if they were asked to describe the church. The Christian Baptist Church of Newmarket. What would the guy in the street, the woman in the mall, have to say about the church? If they knew you existed, first of all. What would they say? Well, I think many would say that they would see us, that is the church in general, as an outdated religious country club. Yes, I do. I think that's what they would say. It's a place that you go to every Sunday while they stay at home and relax and do the jobs around the house, play sports. They would see you most definitely as just a building where you gather with other people with similar religious interests for the practice of certain rituals, occasional acts of charity, and a few roast beef dinners. Because, you see, the world sees the church as kind of an exclusive social club with some strange rules for joining. Now, I want to ask you a most important question of this morning. How do you see yourselves? Because how you see yourselves as Christian Baptist Church will determine how you prepare for your future. This will establish, you see, the primary focus of your church. How you see yourself determines your primary focus. So if I said, what do you think your primary focus is? And you could give me many good answers, I'm sure, for that primary focus of Christian Baptist Church. You could probably say, well, it's the fellowship, it's the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, it's the worship life together, it's our fellowship life together. Some of you would even say it's our potluck dinners. But I want to propose to you today very strongly that the primary focus of this church and any church under the banner of Jesus Christ should be to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given his church. He is the head of the church. Do you say amen here, Keith, at all?
I do.
Oh, does? Okay. So I could ask for that every once in a while and we'll see how good you are. But the central theme of the church is that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and that we are his people, and we are following his commands. We are following his orders. We are under his lordship. He's the master. We're the servants. So if that is true, then the primary focus of the church is to be found obediently following the orders that our Lord has given to us. You see, the church dare not choose its mission any more than an ambassador can choose the message he wants to deliver on behalf of his nation, or any more than a police officers reporting for duty in morning can choose their tasks that they would like to engage in for the day. Whenever anyone is sent on a mission or given a task to perform, they have received that mandate from someone in higher authority. And what's more, those who are sent to fulfill a mission are not at liberty to change the orders or even to rearrange the details of their duties in order to satisfy their particular whims and wishes of the day. So God has chosen to carry out his saving plan, his redemptive purposes on this earth, through the creation of the body of Christ, the church. And he's got no other plan. There's no backup plan. That little story is often told by preachers of generations ago of a discussion that took place between the angel Gabriel and the Lord Jesus after his ascension into heaven. And they were looking down at this small number of believers and apostles who were praying in that upper room awaiting Pentecost. And Gabriel said, Master, what's your plan? Are these the ones you were sending out into the world to spread your glorious news of the gospel? And Jesus said, yes, you're right, Gabriel. These are the ones. And with a question mark all over his face, he said, you mean you are trusting these guys with the good news? Just these disciples? And Jesus said, yes, I am. But the angel protested, What if they fail? Then what will be your plan? And Jesus answered, I have no other plan. I plan to build my church through them. What does the Bible tell us was that plan that Jesus had in the building of his church? We have two statements that Jesus made that are foundational to the mission of the church. One we call the Great Commission. Excuse me, that's found in Matthew 28, the very last words of Jesus in the Matthew Gospel. We bracket that with the wonderful title of the Great Commission. It's on the front page of your bulletin today in a scroll format. And there Jesus makes this wonderful statement, gives these orders. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all those things that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you until the end of the age. Now that's the Great Commission. But it would be mission impossible if it were not for the second statement that Jesus made that is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that though it does not have as widely accepted title as the Great Commission, I choose to call it the Great Provision. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus makes this promise to his disciples as the Great Provision, that is, fulfilling what he said, lo, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. What he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. My friends, Newmarket is at the very ends of the earth in terms of that biblical phrase. God is sending out the message of the gospel to all of the people of the world. And Jesus said, now that's how I'm going to be with you to the ends of the age. My Holy Spirit, my Spirit will indwell all of my followers, and you're going to have my power to fulfill my commission. Aren't you thankful for that, church, that we don't have to fulfill the Great Commission in our power, in our wisdom, in our intellect, but in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? The mission of the church then is clear. We are to make fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, through the power of the indwelling Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be a winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ by engaging in that spiritual battle against the prince of this world who has so many bound to a destiny of eternal separation from God. And all this we do must flow out of our primary purpose, our primary focus. And all that we do must be evaluated in light of this primary focus. The mission, central purpose, raison d'etre, is that the church would be a disciple-making, missional organization that works, goes into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our reason for our existence is to reach seeking people with the message of the gospel. We are to be a going people, not a staying people, but a going people who are in going to those who are in spiritual darkness, who are living apart from God and do not acknowledge Jesus as their Lord. Now, in our culture, church buildings play a significant part. In other cultures, they are of no importance whatsoever. But in our Western culture, the building has taken on far greater significance than was ever intended in that first place. Jesus did not say to his disciples, listen, fellows, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. I want you to build an attractive structure that people will be drawn to. I'd like you to purchase a piano, an organ, a good sound system, have someone who can preach and pray. And when these wonderful acts become known and your piety is out there in the world, it will attract people to come into the front door of your church where you can bring them into the kingdom of God. I'm saying that obviously with a lot of tongue in cheek and probably not very well, but do you get the idea? Because many of us have had the notion that if we just build the church and open the doors, the people will come. But Jesus said, I do not want you to be waiting for people to come. I want you to be going into the world and reaching them. Because if we are to reach the people of the world, we must be missional in all that we do. Go and make disciples. Go and be a fighting force. Go dressed for spiritual battle. Attack the enemy and its strongholds wherever they are. And he envisioned us being an offensive force in the world, moving to the world to conquer it. Jesus said to Peter and others that the gates of hell would not hold out against his church. Do you believe that? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Notice that Jesus did not say that the gates of the church would be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy, but rather the gates of the enemy will not be able to withstand the attacks of the church. If we're going to be obedient to Jesus' orders, we must move outside the walls of the church and go. Some of you, at least I know one couple here, enjoy camping, enjoy getting out in the summer. Anybody else been there? Anybody else ever sat around a campfire? Yes? Campfire teaches a lot about being the church. Did you know that? Because that campfire only exists by burning. And so too, the church only exists by engaging in its mission. And when a fire stops burning, it's no longer a fire. And when a church ceases to be engaged in mission, it ceases to be the church. Instead, it becomes a social club for Christians. So our mission, your mission, if you choose to accept it, as that old TV show once said, is to go. Move outside the walls, to live out before the world and to declare to the world the message that we've been given from our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot select your favorite passage of Scripture. You cannot recreate the message based upon what the culture would like to hear. We cannot add to the message teachings of other streams of religious thought in the world. We must take the message that Jesus has given to us and take it out and to deliver it to the people of the world. Live it out and speak it out, so that others will come to know the Jesus we know as this only Savior of our world. Our message is a simple message that we often complicate. The message is simply this: there is a God of the universe who is a loving God. He loves the world that he has created. He proclaimed to the prophets of old that there would be a point in time when he would choose to break into history. And we declare to the world today that that has happened in Jesus Christ. Amen. That a point in time, he came into the world as the only Son of God. This is our focus, to declare the message that God is a loving God. He loves the world so much that he gave his Son. That's the focus. That's where we belong today. The message is also about the cross. God's love is revealed on the cross. The purpose of God sending his Son into the world was that he would be the sacrifice for the sins of the world, that he would pay the penalty for our sins, so that in him paying the penalty, we would be set free. That the one who knew no sin would become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. This is the heart of the message. Never ceased Pastor Keith, Pastor Don, from preaching the message of the cross. That is the very heart of our Christian message that Jesus has given to us as his disciples, to go and be missional in our world, to love the world as God loved the world, to love the world as he loved the world, and to declare that there's a remedy for the sin that's in the world, and that remedy is found only in the cross. It's the identifying mark of the church, and it's the only guarantee of a new life. Now, the cross, to the ears of the world in which we live, would be, for the most part, laughable. But Paul said that in 1 Corinthians many years ago. He said, it's foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So the message is still foolishness to those who are perishing. It's foolishness because people are repulsed at the thought that they are not acceptable to God. People are repulsed at the thought of being accountable to God. People are repulsed at the notion of being obligated to God. The message of the cross declares a message that's countercultural, that we need to be able to proclaim boldly, sensitively, with love. The cross reminds us that sin is not something that God can tolerate. The cross tells us that sin is not something that we can tolerate. And we can't solve our sin problem on our own by human resolve, by turning over a new leaf, by some meritorious task. Sin is so tragic, sin is so devastating, that it took the shedding of the blood of a perfect Savior, the Lamb of God, to overcome the sin of the world. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God to save us. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because of this great love for the world, God allowed His Son to be crucified on a Roman cross, and because He had mighty power, He raised up Jesus from the dead after He had been buried for 3 days. And the cross is our declaration to the world of God's forgiveness, and God's freedom, and God's power to restore us into our intended fellowships with Him. I trust you believe that today, that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to wipe away your sins, all the records of your sins, and to deliver you from the grip of Satan, and to set you free, and to make you one of His own, and to set before you the promise of eternal fellowship with God in heaven. So today I just speak to you personally. Whatever Satan has wrapped around you in your life that seems to be choking the very life out of you, Christ can break those chains and He can set you free. He can set you free. Christ has conquered death, and by the awesome power of God who raised Him up on that third day, He has that same power to set you free and raise you up to new life. Isn't the love of God something wonderful? Did you sing that song? Isn't God's love amazing? God's love is so amazing that He sent His Son into the world. This is the message we still have, church, to deliver to the world so that we can allow others to come to a saving faith even as we have. If we cease to speak the message, if we cease to live the message, we become just a secularized religious club that performs prescribed rituals, seasonal entertainment, and occasional acts of charity. Friends, may not this 193rd year be a year of mission for the Christian Baptist Church here in Newmarket. A mission to love the world with the love of Christ that indwells every heart of His followers, to proclaim the same gospel that we find in God's Word, that points our families, our friends, and our neighbors, and our community to a loving God, to a cross, and to the promise of eternal life. And to warn people that only this loving God, in His grace and mercy and everlasting love, can save them from the consequences of their sin and give them the assurances of eternal life. I want you to know that until you've experienced Christ, you've not experienced life. And we want our families and friends and neighbors in Newmarket to know that they've not experienced life until they've experienced Christ. Now that's the church. That's the church's motivation, its mission. I believe this church has a great future because Jesus has promised that great future to those who will follow His plan, obey His commands, implement His orders, and become missional, relying upon His indwelling power. May God richly bless you. May this year be a great year of rejoicing in the kingdom over the work that is transpiring here in both the English-speaking and the Mandarin Cantonese-speaking congregations at the Christian Baptist Church.
It is indeed a great and glorious day, both for our celebration of our anniversary, our baby dedication, And this morning we have two young people who have made their commitment of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have personally come to me and said, I'd like to be baptized. And so we have this wonderful occasion, this ordinance of the church, command of Scripture, command of our Lord Jesus Christ, that when a believer becomes a believer, the next thing is to be baptized. As we read our New Testament record, every time someone expressed faith in Jesus Christ, they immediately or very soon thereafter went into the waters of baptism. In fact, we have our own Lord Jesus Christ as our own example, that before he entered into ministry, the first thing he did was to go to the Jordan where John was baptizing, and for righteousness' sake, he was baptized too. So we have two wonderful young people here today give their own testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ. And we must express that it is faith in Jesus Christ that comes first. We are not saved through baptism. Baptism is an act of obedience. Obedience to the command of Scripture, that upon receiving faith in Jesus Christ, we will enter the waters of baptism. It is an outward sign of an inner and spiritual experience. And so our first candidate here is Rushnika, and Rushnika is going to give us her story.
Hello, my name is Rushnika Bateju. I'm 14 years old, and I was born December 13, 1999. My parents are Rushan Bateju and Ronika Bateju. I was born in Sri Lanka in a city called Colombo. I was born into a Christian family, and I grew up knowing and trusting God when I was able to understand words and phrases. My parents taught me how to pray. I was taken to church every Sunday, and I participated in Sunday school. I continued to go to church, but lacked prayer when I was at home or other places. In elementary school, I wasn't always aware about God, because children who claimed they were Christian around me were using hateful words and not behaving like a child of God should. In seventh grade, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I found that praying to God once a week, which was on Sunday, wasn't enough. From Toronto, we moved here to Aurora. My parents enrolled me in a Catholic school, St. Maximilian Colby Catholic High School. I prayed every day, once in the morning and once before school ended. They did prayers twice a day, every day, and my parents loved that about this school. I enjoyed learning about the different religions, and I learned many new things about God. I grew much closer to God when I started interacting with more Christians and Catholics, and to learn more about Him. I have done mistakes, and I have spoken wrong about people, but I ask God to forgive my sins each time. When people ask what religion I am, I proudly say that I'm Christian. Many wonderful miracles have come my way through these 14 years, and one of them was when my grandfather had cancer. He was growing weak, and my entire family was praying for him, including me. My grandfather was living in Sri Lanka at the time, and we weren't able to see him, so praying to God was all that we could do. We prayed in Jesus' name continuously, and one day my grandfather was fever cancer. And even the doctors were baffled by the recovery. It was a joyous day for all of us, and I have God to thank for this miracle. Another miracle that happened to me is that I got to be a big sister. Having a brother like Ravesh has been a wonderful experience for me and my family. God has helped me in more ways than one, and I'm thankful for everything He has done for me. I'm ready to accept God in my life forever, and I'm finally ready to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Well, our second candidate here is Thomas, and Thomas is well known to pretty much all of the congregation. He's been here for a very long time, but I'll let him tell his story.
I was born and raised in a Christian home and taught to follow Jesus. From the time I was 9, I've been getting closer and closer to Jesus. And when I saw my mom get baptized, I realized that that was what I was meant to do. I was 8 and worried too much. Then, when I was 9, I accepted Jesus into my life and my doubt went away. Then my mom was baptized and I realized that I was supposed to be baptized too. I want to be baptized because I feel led to do so. So now I give my life to Jesus forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Please remain standing to receive the benediction in the English first and then in Mandarin. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 愿主耶稣基督的恩惠，天父的慈爱，圣灵的感动。 常与你们众人同在. Amen. Yeah. Please be seated. So on behalf of the church, I would like to thank Pastor Murray for his inspiring message. Thank you so much. And also to celebrate this 192nd anniversary, we want to thank you for your presence in this joint worship. And we have prepared refreshment downstairs so that we can celebrate and also have wonderful fellowship. So go downstairs, have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever you would like to drink downstairs, and then we have the celebration as well. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless your family as well. Thank you.